It is so good to see everyone this Lord's Day morning. We have several who are visiting with us. We're grateful for your presence and hope that you would come back and be with us again the next time that you have opportunity to do so. This morning, I would like to talk for a few moments on the subject of prayer. And in particular, I would like for us to take a look at what the Bible has to say regarding the confidence that you and I can have in our prayers that we offer unto God. I'd like for us to begin by looking at Luke chapter 18. Would encourage you to have your Bible open and to follow along. Don't take my word for what we are studying. Be sure that you find it in your Bible and that you there know that it is the truth. As prayer is a very important subject to all of us, it is something that God wants all of us to be doing, and He wants us to have confidence in our prayers. So I hope that you would have your Bible out and you would be following along today. Luke chapter 18, I want to read verses 1 through 8 as we begin our study. It says, "Then he spoke a parable to them that men always ought to pray and not lose heart, saying, there was in a certain city a judge who did not fear God nor regard man. Now there was a widow in that city, and she came to him saying, get justice for me from my adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I do not fear God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. Then the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said. And shall God not avenge his own elect who cry out day and night to him, though he bears long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth?" The Bible here tells us in verse 1 that this parable was spoken for the purpose of encouraging the Lord's disciples to always pray and to not lose heart. Even when it seems that the Lord is not answering, He would have us to continue to pray. But the part of this parable, this account that has always stood out to me is the very end of verse 8. Jesus here is talking about prayer and talking about us to continuing in our prayer. But he says, nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? You would expect him to ask, will he find his disciples praying on earth? But he doesn't. He uses the word faith. And that tells me that the subject of prayer and the subject of faith are very closely connected. And that's true. The Bible teaches us that prayer is an exercise of faith. When we pray, we are offering our hearts, thoughts, and cares, and praise, and desires unto God in heaven. We're doing our part when we bow, when we pray. But how can we know that God is following through on His end? How can we know for certain that God is hearing our prayers, that our prayers are working, that we're not just wasting time? Isn't that a legitimate question? How can we know? We can't see it. We can't see the other end of our prayers. So how do we know? Prayer, we know, is supposed to play an important role in the life of a child of God. Godly saints in the Old Testament prayed unto God, starting in Genesis 4 and at verse 26. That's when men begin to call on the Lord. The Lord Himself prayed in His short life that He lived here upon this earth, and He even taught His disciples how to pray in Luke chapter 11 and at verse 1. But what assurance can you and I have in prayer today? We know it's a part of the Bible, we know it's something we ought to do, but what assurance can we have? I want to show you this morning what the Bible says about the assurance and the confidence that you and I are to have in our prayers. I want to begin by looking at James chapter 5 and verse 16 as we look at the point that prayer avails much. The Bible tells us that our prayers have power and that they avail much. The New King James Version of the last part of James chapter 5 and verse 16, and the King James Version reads very similar to this. It says, "The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much." The English Standard Version renders this phrase as, "The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working." Think about that. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. The New International Version, of which I'm not a big fan, I don't care for the way that it's translated, but I do like the way this phrase is translated in that version. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. This last part of this verse avails much. What does that mean? Avails much. These two words, they are translated from a Greek word that means to have power, to have force, to be strong. So it tells us that there is great power in prayer. It avails much, it accomplishes much, it exercises a great amount of power. And this power is available to ordinary people. Because James goes on here in James chapter 5 to use Elijah as an example of prayer availing much, of prayer resulting in great things. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. Let's pause right there. Elijah was a mighty prophet of God. And through him, God was able to work great miracles in his day. But when it came to this specific event in Elijah's life, the Bible says he was just like you and me. He didn't lean upon any miraculous power of any kind. He was a man with a nature just like ours. And he prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth produced its fruit. Elijah is an example of powerful prayer. So prayer has power, but what we need to understand is that prayer, having power, exercising that power, resulting in powerful things, is always conditional. As we read and study the Bible, and even in this verse, James 5:16, we see conditions, don't we? So if we are going to have confidence in our prayers, we need to recognize the conditions that the Bible sets forth in order for prayer to avail much. Let's start number one here in verse 16, that it is the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man. It's not just any kind of prayer, but the effective, fervent prayer. Now these two words, effective, fervent, two words are translated from a single Greek word, and I hope and trust that you can see our English word energy comes from this Greek word. So that's the kind of praying that we're talking about. We're not talking about us just before we drift off into sleep, we offer up a prayer unto God, thanks for today and hope everything turns out okay tomorrow, and then we drift off to sleep. No, we're talking about prayer that we put our energy into, that we put ourselves into, that we put our heart into. It's just not reciting something in our heart and in our mind that we have committed to memory as we go along our merry way. It's doing what the Lord taught in Matthew chapter 6 and taking the time to go into our room and shut the door and pour out our heart to God in prayer. Prayer works if we will work at it. That's what verse 16 is teaching. Prayer works, but it's only if you and I work at that prayer. It's only if we get serious about praying can we have confidence in our prayers. Secondly, as we stay here in verse 16, notice that it is the prayer of a righteous man. The English Standard Version said righteous person. Man here needs to be understood as representing mankind, not gender, but any godly person, a man or a woman of God. But it has to be from a righteous person. Psalm 66 and at verse 18 says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear. If I've got sin in my heart and sin in my life and sin on my mind and I utter a prayer unto God, it ain't going to get any further than the ceiling. Because I've got sin in my heart. I've got sin in my life. I'm not living for God. I'm living for sin. No, it is the prayer of a righteous person that is going to avail much. What is a righteous person? Well, we could debate that if we want to, but wouldn't it be better if we went to the Bible and let the Bible tell us what a righteous person is? In 1 John chapter 3 and verse 7. 1 John chapter 3 and at verse 7. Little children, let no one deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he is righteous. A righteous person is someone who is doing what is right. They're living right. They are a godly person, a right person. I want you to notice something here. The promise of Scripture is not that the eloquent prayers of a well-polished preacher have power. The promise of Scripture is that the energetic prayers of a righteous child of God have power. Even the most unassuming, simple, humble Christian can have access to this powerful tool that God has given to all believers. The prayers of a righteous man avail much. We know also that since prayer is an exercise of faith, that we have to pray in faith. If we don't pray in faith, we shouldn't expect that God hears and answers our prayer. James chapter 1, we've been looking at the end of the book of James. Let's go back to the beginning. James chapter 1, verses 5 and 6. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose he'll receive anything from the Lord. He's a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. One day he's really faithful, really believes in God. Another day his life has been shaken. He's not quite so sure. Does God exist? Is God real? Is he there? Faith coming from that kind of a heart isn't going to make it to God. God doesn't listen to that. We have to pray in faith. Pray without doubting. Pray with confidence that God exists. He's real. That God hears my prayer. And that, yes, God is going to answer my prayer. I need to pray with that kind of a heart. I have to pray with that faith. Now, that kind of prayer avails much. And of course, prayer is not a blank check. That is, prayer is not an opportunity for us to let our wish list made known to God and wait for Him to shower all these physical blessings down upon us. No, the Bible teaches that God will answer prayers that are offered according to His will. If you turn to 1 John chapter 4, verses 14 and 15, we're going to look at these verses again in a few moments in a little more detail, but I want to look at them now in connection with this point. And again, we're talking about our confidence in prayer. Now look at verse 14. Now this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked from Him. God has not obligated Himself to answer our prayers in a manner that contradicts His divine will. He's never going to do that. God is always going to accomplish His will. If we will ask according to His will, He will gladly give us those things. You might ask the question, how can we know if we're asking according to God's will? Well, I would suggest the way we overcome that is by spending as much time in the Word of God that we can. Because it's in the Word of God that we have the mind of God and the will of God revealed unto us. And the closest that we can come to understanding what the will of God is by spending as much time in His Word as we can. And as we come to understand His will, and as we come to understand God's desires and the way God thinks and the way God values things, then that will affect the way that we pray. It will affect the way that we ask for things and what we ask for and who we are praying for. If we can learn more about the will of God, that will affect our prayer life. We have to pray according to the will of God, and that gives us confidence. And the Bible teaches that we must be in fellowship with God in order for our prayers to avail much. Now, the way Jesus puts it in John chapter 15 is that we must abide in Him. In John chapter 15, at the beginning of this chapter, Jesus is referring to Himself as the true vine, and His believers are the branches, looking at a grapevine and the branches that grow on it and produce fruit. And as long as that branch abides in the vine, it's going to be fruitful, it's going to have everything that it needs, but if it's not abiding in the vine, it's not going to have anything. Now look at what Jesus says in verse 7. If you abide in Me, and My words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. Again, I want to emphasize, we shouldn't take this one verse and single it out and say, see, He says, ask whatever you want. No, we need to keep it in the greater context of the Bible as a whole. We know we have to pray according to the will of God. Here the emphasis is upon us abiding in Christ, being in fellowship with Christ. If you abide in me, that is, if you're in fellowship with me, and my words abide in you, that is, you're living according to my word, you're following what I have taught you to do, then you ask and you will receive. So we have to abide in Christ. We have to be in fellowship with Christ. Can we have confidence in prayer? Prayer works. Prayer is effective. Prayer avails much. But only if we're doing it right. Only if we're doing it the way that the Lord has taught us how. That we put our energy into it. That we live a righteous life. That we pray in faith according to God's will. As we maintain our fellowship with Him, we can have confidence in prayer. There's another aspect of the confidence that we can have in prayer, and that is considering the blessings that are available only through prayer. Prayer is the avenue through which we have access to some of the greatest blessings that God has promised to us and that we receive from His bountiful hands. If you would turn to Matthew chapter 6, Matthew chapter 6 records for us what many people refer to as the Lord's Prayer. And sometimes this prayer is recited from memory, word for word. I don't see anything wrong with memorizing Scripture and being able to quote Scripture word for word, but I want to suggest to you that's not what this passage was intended to be. It wasn't intended to be a formula that we repeat. It was a teaching tool of the Lord to teach us about the content of prayer and what prayer was supposed to include. But as we look at this passage, we learn some of the great blessings that we can ask for and receive through prayer. Number one, our physical necessities. Give us this day our daily bread. We can pray for that. And we're blessed in this country, in this community, in this congregation, that we have the things that we need. But we have them because we pray for those things. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. What things? Well, verse 25, what we eat, what we drink, what we're going to wear, where we're going to lay our head. All these physical things, we don't need to worry about them. We pray for those things. But also in this prayer that the Lord gives us, we have the forgiveness of sins. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. We receive the forgiveness of sins. That is, a child of God receives the forgiveness of sins by praying unto God and asking God to forgive him of his sins. We can also pray for and receive spiritual guidance in our lives. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. We can pray unto God every day that He would guide us, that He would give us that spiritual guidance that we need to stay out of sin, to stay out of trouble, and to serve Him faithfully. And when we come to need help, we can pray unto God and ask for help. In Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16, Hebrews 4:16, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. How do we come before God's throne of grace? But through prayer. We pray unto God about the things that trouble us, and we can receive help in time of need. Of course, the peace of God that passes all understanding is available to us, but only if we pray. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Let me ask you, do you need that peace of God in your life right now? I know some people do. You know where you get it? Through prayer. You get it through praying. Casting your burdens on the Lord. Casting your cares upon Him, for He cares for you. That's a great blessing, but it's available only through prayer. We saw in James 1 and at verse 5 that we have wisdom. We can receive wisdom. Any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God and he'll give to you. And we can pray unto God for that wisdom. And we can also pray on behalf of those who are sick. If we go back to James chapter 5, we've been looking at verse 16 as we read there that the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. But if you look at the context in which this admonition is given, it's talking about those who are sick, those who are in need of help. Is any among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them what? Pray over him. Pray for that one who is sick, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he's committed sins, he will be forgiven. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. We're to pray for those who are sick, for those who are recovering, for those who are hurting. We pray for them, and that gives us great comfort in knowing that God is looking out for these ones that we love. It gives us comfort to know that others are praying for us as well. We have a list here, and this is just some. It's not exhaustive, but these are just some of the things the Bible tells us that we can pray for. You and I know that there are many people in the world who are struggling to find and obtain these things on their own. And while we do have to put forth effort in these areas to obtain these things, we know that we obtain them with God's help through prayer, don't we? We have to work. We have to labor for our food. We have to seek guidance and wisdom and peace in God's Word. We know that we have to get medical help for our loved ones and our friends. And we have to make sure that they follow those treatments. But at the same time, we know that God helps us in these areas as we lean on Him in prayer. So what confidence can we have in prayer? Do you have these things? You know where you receive them, through prayer. Number three, the Bible teaches us beyond a shadow of a doubt that God hears our prayers. And again, this is where confidence comes in. Because prayer is communication. In praying, I'm talking to God. I am letting Him know my heart's desires and my thoughts and my cares and my worries and my praise. I am communicating that unto God, but I don't see it being received by Him. I don't see Him hearing that. I don't see Him taking that in, processing it, and responding to it. We can't see it on His end, but the Bible assures us that our prayers are being heard by our God. I want to put just a few verses up here for us to look at and see again the assurance and the conviction that we can have in our prayers. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and His ears are open to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. God sees all. He hears everything, and His ears are open and attentive to their prayers. You ever notice that you get into a busy, crowded area and you hear a baby crying? What do you hear? You hear a baby crying. But what does that baby's mother and father hear? That's my child crying, right? They know that cry. They tune into it. They know it. They can pick it up. God knows our voice. And while He seems like He's so far away in heaven, whenever we cry unto Him in prayer, He's listening for our voice. And He hears it. He hears our prayers. In 1 John 5, verses 14 and 15, we read just a moment ago, this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of Him. God hears us when we pray. The Bible tells us again and again, the Lord is far from the wicked, but He hears the prayer of the righteous. Again, it doesn't matter where we are. Psalm 34, verses 17 and 18, the righteous cry out, and the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. The Lord is near to those who have a broken heart and saves such as have a contrite spirit. Let me ask you this morning, do you need that? I know a lot of people do. There are a lot of people that need that. They are in that trouble, and they need that help, and they need that deliverance. And the Bible tells us that God hears us. It doesn't matter where we are, God hears us. I think about Jonah chapter 2. In Jonah chapter 2, we read about his experiences in the belly of that fish, down in the deepest part of the water. And he prayed unto God from the belly of the fish, from the bottom of the sea, and you know what? God heard it. God heard it and God delivered him. There's not a place that you and I can go to. There's not the deepest pit of despair that we can fall into or perhaps throw ourselves into that God won't hear us from. We need to be praying unto God, believing that he hears. And this is where faith comes in. We said prayer is an exercise of faith. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1 tells us that faith is the assurance and the evidence of things not seen. Now, I don't see God hearing my prayer. I don't see God responding to that email or opening that letter or receiving that text. I don't see that, but by faith, I know he hears it. I know he hears it, and I know that he's going to answer. And that's the fourth thing I want to look at. The confidence that we can have in prayer is that every prayer that we offer unto God is answered. Every one. Every prayer that we offer unto God, not only is it answered, but it gets the right answer. It gets the best possible answer. Now what we need to understand and learn to accept is that it may not be answered the way that we want it to be. We may not get the answer that we think. Sometimes we pray to God that way, don't we? We pray unto God, we ask Him for something, and by the way, here's the way I think you ought to do it. Here's the way I think you ought to answer this prayer and go about taking care of this problem. We do that. We pray to God that way. But on occasions, we need to accept the fact that God is going to give us a different answer than what we want. What kind of answers come from God? Well, sometimes God says yes, doesn't He? Sometimes God gives us what we ask for. Sometimes God says no. Why does God tell us no? Did your parents ever tell you no when you asked for something? My parents did. Sometimes they told me yes, but sometimes they told me no. Why did they tell me no? Because they didn't like me? No, just the opposite. Because they loved me and they knew that that wasn't what was best for me. And the same thing is true with God. Sometimes God says, not yet. You're not ready for that right now. Timing isn't right now. Not yet. And sometimes God says something different. You're asking for this, but what you really need is this over here. We need to come to see that, appreciate that, and to accept that. But regardless of what the answer is, do we understand and accept by faith that it is the best thing that God can do for us? In Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 through 11, Matthew 7, verses 7 through 11, ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and him who knocks it will be opened. Or what man is there among you who, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? That sounds pretty harsh here, doesn't it? Jesus is saying, you're evil and God is good. Well, we need to understand that comparatively speaking. Compared to God, yes, we are evil. There's none of us that compare to the goodness of God. But if we, as mere humans, have the wisdom and the love to give our children what's best for them, can we not trust that an infinite, all-knowing God of love is going to give us what is best for us? Yes, God's answers are best. And even if the answer is no, we have to have faith that it is what is best and learn to accept God's answer. In the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 12, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 through 9, the Apostle Paul talks about a time that he prayed unto the Lord three times that a situation in his life would change. He says that he had received a thorn in the flesh. And lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure, verse 7 says. So Saul of Tarsus was a very arrogant man. The scriptures reveal that. Very arrogant man. Here the Apostle Paul, Saul became the Apostle Paul. He's been blessed to see things that most people don't see, and it could cause him to be arrogant and proud. He needed to remain humble, and God saw that he needed help with that, and so he was given a thorn in the flesh. Now what that is, we don't know, but you can think what a thorn in the flesh does. It's that sharp pain, and you want it out. And that's exactly whatever the malady was, the ailment was. He goes to God and he prays that it be removed. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord three times that it might depart from me. When you think this would be a valid prayer, I'm hurting, I'm in pain, I'm being held back by this, this is causing me to suffer in some way, surely God would want to alleviate this and take it out of the way. But God said no. God answered and said no. He said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I'll rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. God said, no, I'm not going to take that thorn away from you because you need it. You need it to keep you humble. But I'll tell you what I am going to do. I'm going to give you the strength to live with it. So instead of taking that away, what Paul was given was the strength to live with it because he had to have it. Did that prayer work out the way that he thought that it should? It worked out, in his words, it worked out better than he thought that it should. Even the Lord prayed three times that he could avoid the pain of the cross. And what did God say? No. He had to face it. He had to face that pain. What we need to remember when God is answering our prayers in a way that we don't want, or it seems like he's not answering our prayers at all, what we need to remember is that God is seeing things from a completely different perspective than we are. God truly does see what is best. He sees the big picture. In Isaiah 55, verses 8 and 9, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. That's why it's so foolish for us to come to God from our perspective and tell God what needs to be done and how he needs to do it. Because God can see, he knows so much more than we do about this situation, and the suggestions that we have are coming from such a low plane. What we need to do is pray unto God and trust that God will do what is best and do what is right, even when he says no. To a request that we couldn't fathom God denying us. Even when he says no, even when he says not yet, even when he says something different, you need something better. We need to learn that God answers every prayer correctly. He gives the right answer to every prayer. And we need to learn to accept those answers. Brethren and friends, prayer must play an important role in our lives. But it is an exercise in faith. And so if our faith is not strong, our prayers are not going to be like they should. We need to strengthen our faith, but we also need to pray the way we should. Our faith, as it becomes stronger, our faith is going to give us even greater confidence in our prayers. What have we learned today? That prayer works if we'll work at it. That prayer is the means by which we receive the greatest blessings from God and his help and guidance in our lives. That God wants us to pray, and God hears our prayers. And that God will always respond to our prayers, and he'll always respond with the best possible answer. That's the confidence that the Bible gives us in our prayers. I asked this morning, are you and I praying like we should? Now that's a question of self-examination. Are you and I praying unto God like we should? Are we praying in faith? Are we relying on prayer and having confidence in our prayer? Now let me put it this way. As we go back to where we started in Luke chapter 18 and verse 8, if the Lord was to come back right now, would he find you and I exercising our faith? Would he find us praying like we should? If not, we need to work on this. If you have any questions about prayer, if you'd like to study this further, let me know. I'd be glad to pray with you and to study with you and to help you with this matter. But I hope that this study will encourage you to pray as the Lord would have us to do. If you're here and you're not yet a Christian, not yet a child of God, I want you to remember that prayer is a privilege that is given to the child of God. You need to become a child of His. And that's very easy to do. The Lord made it easy. He died for you. He did the hard part. If you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, Why not repent of your sins, confess your faith, and let us baptize you in water, immerse you in water for the remission of your sins. You can arise to walk in newness of life, born again as a child of God, and have this avenue of prayer unto the Father in heaven. If you need to respond to the invitation, we offer it now. I invite you to come as we stand and sing this song.